Thank you very much, Lindsay. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 5. We've been in Mark chapter 5 before with me when we looked at the case of the woman who had with the issue of blood. And this time we're going to look at a man who, as it were, came back from the dead. He wasn't dead, but he may as well have been to his friends and his family. So Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure ye, by God, that ye torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Mark chapter 5 has been called the Bible home for incurables. There are three cases in this chapter, one of which we'll look at in detail, one of which we've looked at before, and a third. This first one was this man who'd been possessed by many devils and is known as the demoniac man. Secondly, there was the diseased woman who had the issue of blood. And number three, there is the dead girl. All of these would have been considered impossible cases in the time that Jesus lived, and also perhaps in our own time as well. This is another one of those helpless cases that we find that Jesus has the resolution. The man perhaps would be assigned to a mental institution. Certainly he would have to be restrained and kept separate from other people. The woman would be assigned to a terminal unit, waiting for her to pass away. And of course, the girl who was dead would have been placed somewhere for burial and then buried. But when we go through this fifth chapter, we see that Jesus is more than equal to all of these cases. He's adequate for every situation. There are no incurables with Jesus Christ. In every situation here, we see that Jesus is more than adequate. To the man who is demonized, he became the great psychiatrist. To the woman with the disease, he was the great physician. And to the girl who was dead, he was the great pediatrician. The Lord has the answer. And I want us to focus on this man who was referred to as Legion. That was the name which he had. A man possessed with demons. To all intents and purposes, this man was considered dead by his family and his friends. He could not live amongst them. Because of his possession, he had to separate himself from them and from all society. He was a living dead man. That is, until Jesus came, and he changed everything. We need to keep in mind the context of this particular passage of Scripture. Back in the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus had calmed the storm upon the sea. You remember he entered the boat with his disciples to go to the other side, to this place where he met this man, and a storm arose, and Jesus calmed the storm. A great miracle. Is it any less of a miracle when the Lord Jesus enters into the heart of a man and calms the storm that is within the heart of that man, that individual? I want us to look at this passage and watch Jesus Christ work in the heart and the life of this man. I want to watch him bring him back from the dead. And the first thing we notice about the man is his position, his slavery. That's what's brought to our attention. The position that he had in this life, what had happened to him. We understand that he was under the control of Satan. At first, it appears that he may be just under the control of one demon. Later, we learn that it's many. We're told that he has an unclean spirit. But we learn that he's not just the home of one foul spirit, but the home of many, a whole legion of demons. And that was the name that he gave himself. In the Roman army, a legion could be anything from 2,000 to 6,000 men. And when we come to the episode with the swine, we're told that there are 2,000 of them that these unclean spirits went into. This man was totally under the control of the devil. Absolutely, totally under his control, it would appear. And that's a description that can be applied to many in this world who aren't aware of their position before the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil has blinded their eyes and their sight, and they cannot see the position that they're in with sin and wickedness, how they are separated from God. It's a position I was in when I was a young man, and it was a pitiful position to be in. His master was the devil. We understand also and see his misery in this life. Here's a man who lived in tombs. The demons that possessed him caused him to be a wild man. Some people had tried to capture him and chain him up, but even that couldn't restrain him. He managed with this strength that was given to him to break the chains. These demons also caused him to be self-destructive. Maybe that's why there was a family in his past and he could no longer associate with them. What a pitiful picture this paints of this man's life. This man is no different from billions of lost people in this world today. They don't behave in that manner. But that is the position that they're in. They're under the thrall of Satan, under the thrall of unbelief and sin. They live for themselves without realizing that their life choices are destructive and are damning. They cannot be helped by human intervention. They cannot be changed by well-wishers and handouts and good intentions, because they have a spiritual need that is beyond human repair and restitution. So we see that his master is Satan and his life is one of misery. But one thing we can notice about this man, and this isn't a coincidence, that when Jesus landed in that boat, that that man was there. This was a man who dwelt not only in tombs, but in the mountains. He could have been anywhere. But he was there at that point. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran to him. What a wonderful thing. The Lord knew of this man, I'm sure. And this man, his locality, was arranged under God's plan. Even in that tormented mind, there lived a knowledge of right and wrong, and a knowledge of the need that he had of the Saviour. Just because a man is living foolishly, that doesn't mean that he's stupid. He may recognize his need. This man ran to the Lord Jesus Christ because he saw that perhaps there was help there, perhaps a better way. The Lord Jesus Christ was there for him and dealt with him. That was the position that the man was in, a helpless case. His friends and his family perhaps given him up for good. He was lost to them. Occupied by thousands of demons, we would say incurably lost. How could a man recover from that? And to see how, we need to turn to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and look at him, what he was doing. In chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples, his men, to get in a boat. They're going to go over to the other side. And on the way, while he slept, this storm came and hit the boat. They thought that they were going to die, but they had the master with him. Jesus arose and calmed the storm, and they passed over to the other side. I think Jesus knowing that the people of the land they were going to would reject him. He knew that. But he also knew that there was this one man who was there who would need him so much. This one poor, tormented man. And he went anyway. Such is his love and compassion for lost humanity. He went anyway. And just as Jesus crossed that lake to reach this one soul, Jesus came down from heaven to reach many souls. My soul, your soul. He came to this world to go to the cross, to die for the souls of a lost humanity. What great love and compassion the Lord Jesus Christ showed to this man, and what he shows to us. Because he came for me, and he came for you, and went to that cross to die for you and I. Neither venture that he undertook was a fruitless task. He accomplished what he planned in both events. That was his purpose, to go to that place and set this man free. When everyone else looked at this man, they saw a hopeless case. They saw what he was doing to himself. They saw that he seemed to be incurable. They couldn't chain him. They couldn't restrain him. He ran away and dwelt in tombs and mountains. But when Jesus saw him, he saw a man who was in need. He saw a human in need of heavenly intervention. Jesus didn't just see this man as he was. He saw him how he could be through divine intervention. That's what Jesus sees when he sees lost people. when he sees the drunk. He sees a deacon. When he sees a drug addict, he sees a preacher. When he sees a harlot, he sees maybe a choir member. That is why lives are changed when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're changed when he enters in. He will take what you give him and he will transform it, and he'll give you something much more precious in return. If you gave Jesus your crab apple, he will return you a golden delicious. If you gave Jesus your thorn, he will give you a rose. If you gave him an acorn, he will give you back a mighty oak. If he gave Jesus a Jacob, he will return a prince of God. If you gave Jesus Simon Peter, he would return to you a great preacher. If you gave Jesus Saul, the persecuting Pharisee, he would give you back Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, a mighty missionary. If you give yourself to Jesus, you can be amazed at what he can do for you. And it is amazing what Jesus can do with a human being. He transforms them, makes them into a new creation. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ saw for this man, that he would be transformed. We can look at the Saviour's power. It needed power. This man was under the control of a power that he could break. He could not break himself. Even if he was just occupied by one demon, he would not have been able to break free. But this man was occupied by thousands. His name was Legion. But Jesus has more power than the devil, infinitely more, because of who he is. And at his command, those demons left that man and went into the 2,000 swine, who then ran down the side of a cliff and perished in the water. One minute the man was a slave of Satan, and the next he was sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ, freed from the bondage of devils. Such is the power of the Lord Jesus to change lives. And none need fear that he is unable to do for you what he was able to do for this man. He specializes in changed lives, and he has the power to change every life that comes to him. He can take a persecutor like Saul and change him into Paul the Apostle. What he did for this man, he can do for us as well. This man was changed. The Lord Jesus Christ brought salvation to him, and that salvation changed him. He's no longer running around, crying out and cutting himself. Now, he is calm, and he is sat beside Jesus. What a change. And that's how it is. When you meet Jesus, you cannot remain as you were. He changes those who come to him. Has he changed you in your life? Salvation clothed him. He's no longer naked, but now he is clothed. And that's what happens to the Christian as well. Before a holy God, we are laid bare. He knows everything about us and sees into our hearts and our souls and sees the wickedness and the sin that is there. We're unclothed before him and we're undone. But the Christian becomes clothed with the righteousness of Christ, covered by him. What a wonderful gift it is. Salvation clothed this man and made him into his right mind. Salvation calmed him down. Where there had been turmoil and agitation, now there is perfect peace. He's been changed spiritually. and physically and mentally. He's a picture of the total change that can take place, that salvation brings when a man or a woman is converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives everyone who comes to him a brand new life. He was changed from the inside out. A wonderful change had taken place in this man's life. Jesus dealt with the man's real problem, the problem that he had in his heart. We don't know how that man became occupied by demons. Something must have occurred in his life where he let them in, maybe one at a time, maybe all in a rush. We cannot know. But what is the great compassion of God that even someone like that can be changed by this encounter with the Son of God? How wonderful it is that even this man, who all had given up as lost, can be changed by this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he was changed: calm, in his right mind, clothed, sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wasn't just changed in his outward appearance. He wasn't just changed with a calm spirit. His desires had changed as well. He was given a new set of desires. He was compelled to desire Jesus. Prior to meeting Jesus, this man didn't want to meet anyone. He was thoroughly antisocial. But now that he is saved, all he wants to do is be around Jesus. He wants to be with him. That is his desire. Jesus was about to depart. This man wanted to go with him. That was the desire of his heart. That's our desire. Those who have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ are given new desires to be with the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to commune with him, to read his word, to discover more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what salvation will do to you. It will ruin your life by making you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you're saved, you'll want to be around Jesus and about his business. You'll be changed. You'll want to go to his house. You'll want to be around his people. Even strange people like us, you'll want to be around us because we love the Lord. Wherever he is where you will want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was compelled to desire Jesus. He was also compelled to declare him. He's told to go home and to tell all who will hear what the Lord had done for him. He went to Decapolis, which literally means 10 cities. What a homecoming that would have been. This man had been given up. They tried to bring him back, but in chains. But now he came back clothed and in his right mind. What an effect that would have. And they would think, what's happened to him? Well, he could tell them. He could tell them about the encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was compelled to declare the Lord Jesus. What a testimony that man had to those cities, to those people, to his family, to his friends. What a wonderful thing had taken place in this man's life when he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, thoroughly changed. Has there ever been a day when Jesus passed by in your life, where you are? And have you welcomed him in to change you, to save you, to rescue you from sin and death and an eternal loss? That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has changed those who have come to him, changed those who have trusted in him. And he can do the same for anyone in this room or outside in this world. Such is the changing power of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So come to Jesus, trust him, and bring salvation into your life as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with this man. Everyone else had given up on him, but the Lord Jesus Christ specifically went to that place. He was the only one that welcomed him. He was the only one who rushed to be with Jesus. A man who was under the thrall of so many unclean spirits, and yet something was in his heart that brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Lord sought him out. We thank you that the Lord has sought out all of us, coming to this place, coming to this earth, to this planet which has rejected God. We thank you that he came, that he was born here, lived his life with the sole purpose of going to the cross and dying for each one of us. We pray that we would understand this, that we would see his love and compassion and return it. As we return love to our Lord Jesus.